Who's the man? Who's the man? Tell that person, next to you, Jesus is the man, before you sit down. Who's the man? The Raiders won.
That's 2 years in a row, guys. I should have ran out of here because I take the game.
Who's a Raider fan? who's still praying that the Chargers are going to be in the Super Bowl next week? How y'all doing? How you doing? How's everybody doing? Amen. Let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your pens. I don't have a pen. You guys got your bulletins, your notes? You ready to take notes? All right. Turn to Genesis chapter 32. What's up, Cole? How's everybody doing tonight? Y'all excited? Hey, I want to pray, and I want y'all to pray with me, and I want you in your heart to let God know that you want him to speak to you and to encourage you tonight. Amen? You need to come to church every week ready to hear God say something to you, change your life, be prepared for him to do something to you or in you that you didn't expect. Amen? You should come to church like that. And before you go to bed Saturday night, hopefully you're not going to bed Sunday morning like at 2. I am planning my nightclub tour. Specifically for some of y'all. What does that mean? I'm going to go to some nightclubs and right about 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm going to get on the DJ mic and say, how y'all doing out there? Before we slow it down in here. Yeah, I've been there. Okay. This is Pastor Miles. If you go to the Rock, it's time to go home. I cannot wait to do that. When I was a youth pastor, I used to go to parties in the Mira Mesa, Penasquitos area where I lived. I had a little Bible study at my house for a couple of 3 years. I don't remember how long, several years. And they used to have parties at the Ice House up in Mira Mesa or people's homes. So I used to go. I mean, I wasn't going to dance or anything. I was just going to be there. So I would just go and stand there on the wall, just watch everybody come in. And kids that would go to the Bible study would come to the party, and their eyes would get real big. And I would just do this. Out. Go back home. It's like, what are you doing here, Miles? It's like, just hanging out. What are you doing here? So that all came from when you go to bed at night. If you go to bed Saturday night before church, you should go to bed and really say, God, you know, I'm ready. I want to get ready tonight for church tomorrow. Get my Bible, get my book out, my pen. And I want to get a seat, I want to hear, and hear my problems, here's my issues, here's my stress. I'm going to bring all that to church, and God, I want you to minister to me, amen? That should be your heart. So let's pray, and if you weren't there when you walked in, let's pray that you can get there now. Lord, we want to prepare our hearts right now to receive what you have for us to receive. that we would be open and that we would hear your voice. And Lord, I pray that people would hear many more things than what I say, that they would hear what they have to hear, that you would speak to them beyond my words and beyond my notes and beyond the sermon plan, that you would tell people things that they need to hear, and that you would encourage them in areas and ways that need to be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking this week about some of the sports that require the most physical training. And a lot of the sports you watch on TV aren't the most difficult sports condition-wise to do. Football, I don't even think is in the top 10. Baseball is way down on the list. It's really, you just don't need to be in shape to play baseball. It doesn't mean you're not athletes, but you don't need to be in tip-top shape. Basketball's up there. Boxing is up there. Swimming, soccer, cheerleading, psych. some track events, triathlon, but probably the cycling is up there. Lance Armstrong is in amazing shape, condition. But one of the top three, in my opinion, is wrestling. And wrestlers, pound for pound, are probably the toughest athletes, pound for pound. You don't really have any punks that wrestle. You have punks that play basketball, football, baseball, hockey even. I mean, they fight, but they can't fight. That's why it takes, you know, they hit each other 9 times and still stand there, you know. Just go ahead and fight. You guys can't fight anyway. Just go ahead. But wrestlers, it's a very difficult sport. It takes all that you have. You don't see too many wrestlers finish a match and, you know, be not fazed by what just happened. There's different kinds of wrestling. Sumo wrestlers. Anywhere from 200 to 600 pounds. One guy was 600 plus pounds. And wasn't even thinking about going to Jenny Craig. My man was still gaining weight. You have Olympic wrestlers, you have amateur wrestlers, but then you have the WWF. Now, I'm not a WWF fan at all. I watch it sometimes, like when they're talking trash, because it's so dramatic. It's like they really believe. I mean, they take it so serious. I'm gonna get you. You know, it's really funny to me. And I was at a crusade, one of our crusades a few years ago, and these kids came up at the altar call, and they were saying I look like The Rock. And I never heard of The Rock. Didn't know who they were talking about. Oh, you look just like The Rock. I mean, you know, people tell you that. You never look like who they're talking about. But and actually, since then, I've obviously now know who The Rock is, and actually, he seems like a real nice guy. Seems like a comical guy, very intelligent guy. If you have never seen him in an interview, he's totally opposite of what he is in the ring. He's very intelligent, very educated, very articulate, and to me, he doesn't seem like an arrogant guy at all. He just seems like a real funny guy and a very talented brother. But I was watching the WWF had a tournament. And it was called something SmackDown. Y'all remember the SmackDown? And I like to play SmackDown in my house. So I'll just like, we'll be sitting around or whatever, and I'll say to my kids, WWF SmackDown. And they all jump up, they, you know, put their books aside or whatever they're doing, and they get ready because they know all I'm gonna do is just throw them on the couch, bam, bam. I love to fight with my kids and have my kids fight each other. That's the most entertaining is when they fight each other. I'll say, okay, you and you, fight. Like I get my daughter to box my son. Now, my son is 14, my daughter's 17. My daughter's like 80 pounds. She's real skinny, but she's real tough. And she's like just like a Wolverine. She's real, she'll just get you somehow. But she knows how to box. Like, you know, she doesn't box like boosh, boosh, and hit him in the face. She just goes, bam, 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 and chases them all around the house, just throwing constant punches. And then she gets them in the corner. She's like, no, 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 no. She just jacks them up. It's so much fun to watch. But the title of the message tonight is The Prayer Smackdown. Okay? The Prayer Smackdown. What I want to talk to you today about is about smackdown prayer. Because when you pray, you have to, in your mind, in your heart, get ready for a battle, a wrestling match. As a matter of fact, in the story we're going to look at, Jacob wrestles with an angel all night. And it's representative of prayer. Now, some of you may look at prayer as, dear God, please bless me. And, you know, I had a rough day. And can you do this? Can you do that? Thank you, Lord. Amen. And, you know, yeah, that's praying technically. But that praying ain't going to get you much. You know, you may pray, dear God, bless my food. And I don't think that does anything to your food. Like, if your food is going to poison you before you pray that prayer, it's probably going to poison you after. But it's a good thing to do, to acknowledge that you thank God for the food, but he's not really doing anything to it because you prayed that prayer. But the kind of prayer that you should be praying is the kind of prayers, and the whole reason you should pray, is that God would do something in your life that you can't do. In other words, if you're not going to pray for something that, for God to do something you can't do, then why do you pray? Now, you can tell God thank you. That's legitimate. You can praise God in prayer. Legitimate. You can confess sin in prayer. Legitimate. But when you start asking God to make changes in your heart, in your life, to perform miracles, to move in supernatural ways, you got to be ready to fight with your flesh, with satanic attack, with spiritual attack, with distractions. You have to be ready to prayer smackdown. You got to be ready to fight. And if you're not conditioned to pray long, if you're not conditioned to pray through frustration, you won't pray effectively. Got to practice. I wonder how many of you, well, we'll get to the story. Let's look at Genesis chapter 32. I'll get to the points in the story. Genesis 32. In this story, Jacob, everyone say Jacob. Say Esau. Say Jacob. These two guys are twin brothers. Jacob manipulated Esau and got his blessing from his dad. He tricked his brother. He lied. His dad wanted him to cook Esau to cook a meal for him so he can bless him. Jacob tricked his dad and cooked the meal for him, and he blessed him instead. So now Esau and Jacob are mad at each other. Well, Esau's mad at Jacob. And Jacob is getting ready to go meet Esau again, and he sends all his wives, his kids, his sheep, his donkeys ahead to meet Esau so Esau won't be so mad at him. And in the process of him sending all this stuff away, he's left by himself to wrestle with an angel all night to pray to be blessed. And in this story, we're going to see several principles about wrestling with God, and there's two major categories. There are some things that God wants to wrestle out of you, and then there's some certain things you need to wrestle out of God. In other words, just as you need to beg God for something, he's trying to wrestle stuff out of you. We're going to see in a minute. And he uses certain circumstances to wrestle those things out of your life. We're going to see in a minute. Let's read verse 1, chapter 32, Genesis. It says, Jacob went on his way, and the angels met him. And Jacob saw them. He said, this is God's camp, and he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom, and he commanded them, saying, speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant Jacob says, I have dwelt with Laban and stayed there till now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants, and I have sent them to my lord that I might find favor in your sight. Basically, he sent his servants ahead and said, tell my brother I got all this stuff, and we just want to be friends. And look at verse 6. The messengers returned to Jacob and said, we came to your brother Esau, and guess what, Jacob? He's coming to meet you, and he got 400 brothers with him. Jacob, you in trouble. are big. There's 400 of them. At least that's how many we can count. And he ain't smiling. Now, many times God will put you in a circumstance that you don't really like, that you feel uncomfortable, that maybe you can't do, you're frustrated, you're unknown. That's exactly what God wants you. You think it's a trial? God says, no, it's an opportunity. You think it's a bad thing? God says, no, it's a great thing. How many of you, by a show of hands, you've been through hard times, and when you got through them, you said it was the best thing that ever happened to you? Look at that. And how many of you, when you get into hard times, every time you get to them, you complain you got them? God, you know it's the best thing, but I don't want it. You know what? Next time you get them, you say, God, you know what? I know this is going to turn out to be good. Because you're going to do something in my life, and you're going to teach me to do something for you too. Look what it says in verse 7. First thing he wants to wrestle out of you is your self, a sense of independence. Look what it says. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He said, Jacob, you know what? You are so prideful. You are such a manipulator. And now Jacob's going, oh, I fear my brother. God says, that's this way I want you, Jacob. On your knees. On your knees. Humble. Stop thinking you can do everything. You know what? Some of y'all may be scared of something. You did something. You're scared of the consequences. Guess what? You need to be scared. And you need to be getting on your knees and you need to cry out to God for his mercy. Stop being me. I can do anything on my own. Look what the Bible says in the next verse. It says in verse 8, he said if Esau comes to one company, I'm sorry, it says in verse 7, he was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. And he said, if Esau comes to one company and attacks it, then the other company, which is left, will escape. Then Jacob said in verse 9, O God, my father, God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. He says in verse 10, God, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with a staff, and now I have become two companies. The other thing God wants to wrestle out of you is your pride. Look what Jacob says. I'm not worthy of all that you've given me. Don't raise your hand, but you know many of us in here think we are worthy of everything we have. I deserve my car. I deserve my house. I deserve my 401k. I work for it. I deserve my degree. I deserve all my clothes and everything I have. Now, some of you may be thinking, what's wrong with that? You don't deserve anything. It is because of God's grace that you have it. Well, I went to school. I studied. The only reason you studied is because God gave you a mind and an opportunity. When we were in Africa, we got to Nairobi on the 30th. I got there on the 30th of December. They had the elections on the 27th. They had two main guys that were being elected, voted for. If one guy won, there was going to be riots all throughout the country because they've had 20-something years of corruption in the government. But if another guy won, the guy who ended up winning, it was going to be like an Independence Day. The day that I got to Nairobi, they had the inauguration of the new president, the good guy, right outside my window. I literally sat in my room and watched 500,000 people across the street in the park screaming, dancing, celebrating because of their new president. And one of the things he was going to give them he was going to give them that they never haven't had for decades was free education for little kids. You take it for granted. You don't deserve it. God gave it to you. God allows you to be born in a place you can have free education. God allows you to be born in a place you can have church and speak openly about Christ. You don't deserve anything. What you and I really deserve is penalty for our own sin. See, Jesus died for your sin and my sin. He didn't die for his own. How come you don't have to die for your sin? Because of God's grace. But so often we walk around, here's what I deserve. God owes me this. When you get jealous or envious of somebody, what you're telling God is, God, I deserve what you gave them better than they deserve it. That's jealousy. That's envious. They don't deserve that. I should be getting that. And when you get on your knees and pray, guess what God's trying to wrestle out of you? Your pride. Get on your knees and humble yourself before me and tell me thank you for everything you have. Stop getting on your knees and saying, God, I deserve this. God, what's taking you so long to answer my prayer?
That's what worrying and complaining is. I'm not worrying, but complaining to God. God, what's taking you so long? How come you're not doing what I'm asking? I prayed three times in the last year for this. I went to church Easter and Christmas. What's up? No,
God, he says, you know what? I don't deserve anything.
The third one, look at verse 12. Verse 12, he says, well, let's read verse 11. He says, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. For you said, everybody say you said. Say you said. He said, God, you said I will surely treat you well and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. You know what he said? God, I'm on my knees saying I'm not worthy. God, I'm on my knees saying I'm afraid I can't do it. And God, I'm on my knees saying I remember your promises. God wants to wrestle out of your mouth his promises. He doesn't want to hear you talk about what you want or what you're going to do or your plans. Now, there's nothing wrong with having plans. There's nothing wrong with having dreams. And there's nothing wrong with making your request known to God, but with a humble heart. So many times we talk about me, here's what I'm going to do. We have the plans. We're in control. And God says, why don't you start talking about my promises? Matter of fact, you have a business plan. Is it my plan? You're going to go over here and do this on such and such a day and make this much such and such a money. Is that what I told you to do? You're going to go and take this class. Is that what I told you to do? You're going to be a doctor, lawyer. Is that what I told you to do? You're going to date that girl. Is that what I told you to do? What has God said? How often can you say, the Lord said this? The Lord has directed me in this. The Lord gave me this wisdom. How often do you say that? When people ask you, whose idea was it? Do you say it was my idea? Or was it God's idea? How do you know the difference? If it's good, it's God. If it's a good idea, it's God, because all good things come down from God. That's right. He can speak to you and does speak to you all the time. You take credit for it. Tell God what he said. Do you even know what God said? Remember when Adam and Eve, Adam was in the garden, and the devil said, hey, Eve, what did God really say about that tree?
Well, I don't know what he said. What did he say, devil?
Let me tell you something. If you don't know what the Bible says, the devil will tell you. Because your friends out there saying, well, the Bible never said you can't smoke cigarettes. The Bible never said you can't do this. The Bible never said you can't do this. Why? And you can say, I don't know that. Yeah, you don't know it because you don't know the Bible. So the devil will tell you, well, here's what it really says. And the devil will tell you that through your friends who aren't even saved. And you will believe them. Look how stupid that is. What does God say? Know what God says. So when you get into a predicament and your life seems to be falling apart and you think you're going to die because there's no food in your refrigerator and you don't have money to pay your rent, you're going to get kicked out, be homeless, and crawl up in the corner on the curb and the lights are going to eat you and you're just going to die. That's what the devil's telling you, so you panic. Oh, I can't pay my rent. My life is over. Read the Bible. God's going to feed you. God's going to take care of you, and you don't know how? Read the Bible. Your ways are not his ways. Let him do what he's going to do. You don't always need to know everything. You walk by faith, not by sight. That means you don't know. Read the Bible. Stop trying to figure it out on your own. So he's trying to wrestle that out of your mouth, out of your heart. Humble yourself. Speak his word. Memorize his word. Rely on his promises. Now, if you could do that, he's got you where he wants you. Look at verse 22. He arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over. In verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. Everyone say Jacob was left alone. Say Jacob was left alone. You know what God wants in your life? He wants to be alone with you. Every day. What's your name? White sweater. You, yes. Carol, God wants to be alone with you. What's your name? Huh? And God wants to be alone with you. How about you in the white shirt, young man in the corner, on the end? Yes. Mark, God wants to be alone with you. My wife and I have kids.
17 years. And if you include her pregnancy, 18 years. There's been kids in our house other than us too. When you get married and have kids, you know what I'm talking about. We sent them to the movies Friday night. And we were sitting on the couch watching something, and it dawned on me, we were alone. And it was, I was like, hey, no one in the house. And it was so, it was like, it's so rare that we could just be alone. Seemed like a simple thing. And when you're single or when you don't have kids, it's every day. That's how you live. But you know what? When you have kids, your life changes. And it's 18 plus years before you could ever be alone again. And that's if you do stuff right. If you don't, the kids stay longer. Not if you don't do something right, but if stuff goes the way you plan, you want them out at 18. But what happens is that something that you take for granted when you're a kid, you lose. And God, we are so busy with stuff. And all you single people out there, your cell phone, you're going surfing, you're going this, you're doing that, you're doing that, you're doing that. And then you go to bed, you get up and do it again all day. And God says, you know what? I just want to slow you down and spend some time with you. I was looking at, my mother sent me pictures that she found of when I was little, from 6 months up to maybe I was 10. And I was looking at these pictures. And one of the pictures was, I had a bike with this big sissy bar in the back. Not a sissy bar. What's a? Yeah, it's a sissy bar, right? That long thing in the back? I don't know if y'all remember. Y'all remember sissy bars? Did they call them that out here? What do you say? Just I had a sissy bar? That's right, I had a sissy bar. But we had this big sissy bar in the back. And I'm looking at that bike, and I remember when I used to get up in the morning, come out, and I'll, you know, like you're a cowboy and your horse. Where am I going to go? What am I going to adventure? Am I going to do today? I could do anything. God wants to spend time with you by yourself so he can talk to you. He wants to tell you about everything in your life. He wants to tell you about your friends. He wants to tell you about how to use your time better. He wants to tell you how to spend your money better. Tell you how to invest your money. He wants to tell you what you should take in school. He wants to tell you what you need to be when you grow up. He wants to tell you how to read the Bible, what the Bible is supposed to be saying to you, why you should go to church, what ministry you should be in. He wants to tell you how to forgive your mom, your dad, how to mend your relationships with your mom and dad. He wants to tell you how to love, how to forgive, how to deal with conflict. He wants to tell you all of that every day, but we're too busy. And we go ask our friends who compare to God are all knuckleheads. We want to ask our pastor who compared to God as a knucklehead. God can tell you. And then we want to ask ungodly people who don't know the Bible. And God's like, why are you wasting so much time? He says, look, I'm here alone. Look what it says next. He says, the man wrestled with him until daybreak all night long. Write down 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. What does that mean? That you're in constant contact with God. There is no decision you should ever make that you don't include God in on it. Think about it. Anything with relationships, career, finances, conflict, God wants to be involved in all of that. Praying is speaking to God, but more importantly than speaking to God is listening to God. Because what God has to say to you is a whole lot more insightful and meaningful than what you have to say to him every day, 24 hours a day. Pray without ceasing. Look what the Bible says next. It says, verse 25, when the angel saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled him. But he still didn't let him go. Smackdown prayer prays through pain. When you pray, things are going to happen. You're going to get discouraged. Things aren't going to go your way. God's not going to answer your prayer when you want him to. He ain't going to answer it the way you want him to. You still got to pray. When you're walking with God, stuff is not going to happen right the way you want. You're going to have trials. Stuff's going to get stolen. We have these little burglaries on our street. People trying to break in all our houses. Someone tried to break in my house when I was in Africa. And when we went to a meeting the other day. And they're putting up cameras on the street. They got cops. They got surveillance helicopters. They got lasers trying to take pictures of license plates. It's all high tech. Panicking. Had the police sergeant at the house, at the neighbor's house, the councilman from the area at the house. They had the neighborhood watch lady at the house. I got flyers. We got signs. You're being watched. All up on the street. It was a trip. And I'm in there. I'm so tired. I love my neighbor's cool, but I'm so tired. I'm in there. I was like 3 hours in his house and all stuff. And I'm like, yo, y'all, let me tell you something. You ain't going to catch this dude. I mean, you may catch him, but we need God. God's the one that's going to save us. Let's pray. Let's pray. We got to pray. We need God. And when stuff ain't going right, you got to go to God. And if you think that everything's going to go smooth, he dislocated his hip. I mean, he's wrestling the devil. All of a sudden, he's like, eh. And he go, oh, he didn't do that. He went, oh, man, what you doing? I'm still not letting you go. There is no excuse you ever have to stop praying. The devil's going to tell you God forgot you. God didn't answer you quick enough. God doesn't love you enough. Go get a bottle. Go smoke some weed. Go party and have some sex. Forget this Christian stuff for a while. Go enjoy yourself and relieve the stress when, in fact, you're just heaping up more problems for your life. You need to keep praying. Next one. Look what it says, verse 26. He said, let me go, the angel said, because the day breaks. But he says, nope. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. What? Dear God, I'm not getting up until I hear your voice. I'm not getting up. When I met my wife, I asked her for her phone number. We were dancing. That ain't how I was dancing, but you know. You like that, huh? Is that what's out now? So I said, what's your number? She said, back off, Jack. Now she said, I'm not gonna give it to you. Can't give you my number. I said, well, how are we going to hook up? We have family, have kids. You know, how are we going to do all that? This is the first time I met her. So she said, I said, how am I going to find you? How am I going to see you again? It's really what I said to her. She said, you'll figure it out. What kind of line is that? That's a woman with confidence. No stress. She said, listen, if you want to go out with me again, you have to work. I ain't going to be easy. So then I asked her to slow dance. This is back when I was a heathen. So a slow record came on. Do, 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 do. So you want to dance? She said, no. You know what the angel said? Angel said, I want to leave. And Jacob said, no, I can't let you go because I know that I want to be blessed. Let me tell you something. If you pray to God, you better know what you're praying for. And you better know that you want it. Because if you just go, oh, dear God, it don't matter, whatever. Now, it shouldn't matter if he wants to give you something better, but you better know you want that. In other words, if you're praying to get blessed, you better know what blessed means. Some of y'all have a relationship with somebody. You say, God bless our relationship, but you really don't know what that means. In other words, to you, it may mean something totally different to God. Oh, bless my relationship with my wife. And God's thinking, well, for it to be blessed, you need to do what your wife says more often. And in your mind, you're thinking she needs to do stuff for you more often. You better know what you're praying for.
Oh, dear God, I want $1 million. Do you really want $1 million? Or do you really just want to have a comfortable life? Stop spending more than you make. Oh, dear God, I bless my, you know, bless my food, bless my family. Ask God and know what you're asking and be committed to what you're asking. Some of y'all ask God to forgive you so you can live a holy life, but you really don't want to live a holy life because you don't want to pay the price. So stop asking. Ask him to change your heart and mean it. And say, Lord, I really, really, really want this. This is where the wrestling comes in. If you want big time blessing, you got to pray big time. One of the things I always wanted to do is catch a big marlin. You ever see those guys fishing and they're like this for hours? You know what I'm talking about? Someone say yes. I want to do that. You know, when they pour water on the string because it's getting so hot. Because fighting this 9,000-pound fish, jumping out of the water. You reel them in, put them up on your wall. Kill them. But in order to get that big fish, you got to go in deep water. Can't get them standing on the side. Many people pray. They pray little tiny prayers, but they want big fish. Don't work that way. You got to pray. You got to wrestle. You can't let go. You know what the Bible says here? Is that the angel wanted to leave. And he says, no, I'm not letting you leave. Even when your flesh doesn't want to pray, even when your knees are hurting, even when your back is hurting because you're kneeling up so long, or if you're praying standing up, or whatever it is, or you're tired, you're sleepy, you got to keep praying. You got to keep bugging God. You got to keep pleading with God. Don't think that you just, oh, Mr. Joe Christian or Jane Christian. Oh, here I am, God. I'm ready to get blessed. Okay, God, here I am. I'm here. I'm dressed. My hair's done. Can I have my blessing now? Oh, no. You got to give it up. What he says, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. When you go home tonight, I dare you. I dare you tonight, tomorrow, to say, Lord, here I go. I'm here for an hour. I'm here for 2 hours. I'm going to seek you for the next 12 months of this year, every day at this time. And I am going to seek your amazingness in my life. I'm tired of being mediocre. Or I'm just tired of being where I'm at. I'm going to go to the next level. I'm tired of dealing with this frustrating situation. I'm tired of dealing with my flesh in this area. I'm tired of dealing with these people over here and letting them bother me. I'm tired of not knowing how to deal with conflict. I want to take my life to another level. And guess what? I am going to pursue your excellence in my life until I get it. I'm not going to give up. Yeah, a lot of y'all saw the football games. If you're a football fan or you watch these sports, and a lot of these people you watch on TV, let me tell you something, they're just regular people. But what they have that most people don't have is this, determination. Determination that says, everybody can say no, but I'm not saying no. If you heard the stories of all the people you see who are playing professional sports, anybody successful, you would hear so much failure and handicappedness in their life. People who's messed up families like you. Homeless teenagers. Homeless teenagers who fight to go to college and to make it to the pros. No family, no home. Heartache. Getting cut from a team 5 and 6 times. Getting told they were too small, too short, too slow. And still making it. Now, for every guy you see on TV, there's about 100 guys just like him with the same talent that didn't make it. Some just the way it goes, but some, they gave up. That's it. The only difference. The only difference. Don't think that Michael Jordan is the best guy. There was never anybody ever else as good as him. They are. They're out there. But something happened. You see doctors and lawyers, and when you meet doctors and lawyers, and you realize, oh, yeah, they're educated. Oh, yeah, they're skilled. But really, they're just regular people who work really hard. Simple as that. No different from you. But they just decided that when you went to sleep, they didn't. When you stopped studying, they didn't. When you stopped working out, they didn't. That's it.
That's a decision you can make. Nobody can make that decision for you. And Jacob said, no. I am not going to let you go. Let me tell you something. I am so fired up, me right now. Because this year, this is the decision I made right here. There's some stuff that I want, and I'm going to get it because of this verse right here. I ain't letting God go. I ain't letting God go. And I am so jacked up because here it is, the 19th day of the year, and he's done so much already in these things I've written down for me and him. So much. Amazing. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You have to do the same thing. And all y'all in here young, how many people under 25 years old? Raise your hand. How many people under 30? Raise your hand real high, just so I can see. Under 30, raise your hand real high. Let me tell you something. All you youngins, y'all got all this. Y'all gonna leave here, go to In-N-Out, eat 5 burgers, still won't gain weight. Then you're gonna go watch some TV. Then you're gonna go over here and go party a little bit. Then you're gonna wake up at 8, go to school. And you got all this energy. You got no responsibility. You're young. You ain't got no money, but you still do it anyway. That's great. Amen. That's great. You need to take all of that. Whatever you call all of that, that. And God is like, man, I want that. I was at, when I was teaching at Horizon years ago, I remember we were doing a crusade, and I said, it was a Sunday night service, and I said, everybody in here who's in college, I want you to meet me in the back room after the service. And I really didn't know who was, I just knew it was a lot of young people, but I had never been exposed to college ministry. You know, I spoke of college stuff, but not like this meeting did for me. And I went into a room with about 150 college kids. It fit about that many. Fit about 100, but they were packed because it was just more, and they were standing against the wall. And I walked in the room, and as soon as I walked in the room, I went, whoa. There is energy, intelligence, talent in this room. Because what I felt, I just felt it, that there was all these young people with intelligence, courage, adventure, risk-taking capabilities, and the ability to get stuff done all at the same time. I said, these are the kind of people that could change the world. And I remember talking about the crusade and doing something. And this dude was sitting in the front row. He was sitting right there. As soon as I finished talking, he jumped up, got in my face. He says, I'm the president. This was 8 years ago. So I'm the ASB president of Point Loma College. He was like the top guy. He was right in my face. And he just, wah, wah. And he says, what do you want me to do? I'm ready to do anything. I said, the first thing you need to do is get out of my face. But you know what? I was like, this is the kind of dude or person that God would just love to get his hands on. That don't care. That will not let go. Look at verse 31. Smackdown prayer leaves a scar. Just as he crossed over the Peniel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. Because of his prayer, God touched his hip, and he was limping like this. Or you know, if he was cool, he was just walking like this. He was just playing it off. I don't know. I don't know how he incorporated it into his walk, but you know, he went into prayer walking like this and came out walking like this. You know? But when you pray for real, something's going to happen to you. If you watch the football games next week, or if you watch any interviews, if you look closely on some of the football players, you will see a dark discoloration right here in their forehead, about that big. Next time, look. It's not on everybody, but it's on some of them. And what it is it's a mark from the helmet being on the head year after year after year. It just gets dark. It's from the profession. If you ever meet any football players from the Chargers, you see Junior at his restaurant or whatever, look at their fingers. And they're going to be all crooked and bent up and a mess. Just look at their fingers. And when you pray like this, oh, something's going to happen to you. Your knees may get all crusty. I mean, Nivea can't even handle it. If you don't know what Nivea is, you might need to get some. It's like lotion for ash. I know some of y'all like lick your fingers and just wipe yourself. That, you know, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. Your knees may get knots on them, but more than that, God is going to touch your life in a way that will never go back. The last thing, he's going to change your name. Look at verse 27. This is deep. He says to Jacob, he said to him, "What is your name, Jacob?" Now, you might be saying, what is that? Why do you ask him that question? Let's back up. Isaac, their dad, said, "I'm going to die. Esau, go make me a meal so I can bless you. You're my oldest son." Isaac's wife said, Jacob's mom said, "Jacob, go get me a goat and I'll cook it up like your dad likes, and you take it to him and tell him you're Esau so he blesses you." So Jacob gets the goat. His mother makes it. He puts, Esau was real hairy, so he put animal hair on his body, and he went to his father. His father was blind, going blind, and he said, "Who are you?" And Jacob said, "My name is Esau. Bless me, my father." And he ate the food, and he blessed him. That's why he's in the trouble he's in today. You know what God said? "Hey, Jacob, I know you're praying about, you know, all these big plans and your boom shakalaka praying in tongues. You want this, you want that, you want this." He said, "But Jacob, let me ask you a question. What's your name?" "What do you mean?" Remember the last time someone asked you that question, you lied. "What's your name?" God wants to wrestle the truth out of you. In other words, you can pray to God all you want. But before we start talking about your prayers, why are you watching that pornography every night? Why did you get high last night? Where are you going to go after church? Were you in Tijuana last night? He wants to deal with that first. You can pray all this stuff you want to do, but your sin is going to find you out and spoil everything. Your sin. Your sin. And guess what the devil do? The Bible says the devil's like a roaring lion. He's just looking, how can I trick this one? How can I stumble that one? You better know what your sin is, because everyone else, all of us got a little five or six things the devil can get us. You know, the devil ain't going to tempt me with a singing career. You know, Sony Records, Atlantic, coming to me with a multi-million, that won't tempt me. So he's not going to bother with that. But he's got these other things he'll bother with me. He said, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to get my house here." And I need to know that. I need to have safeguards in my life so I don't even get close to that fire. So I can go over here and pray with a clear conscience and holy hands and say, "Lord, I really am humble. Here, I'm all yours." And God can say, "That's right, I know. Because I saw the devil try to get you last week, but you did good. You turned right instead of going left. You said goodbye instead of hello." Is that you? Here's what he said. He says, Jacob, what's your name? Now, if we can get your name straight, then we can move on. And look what he says in verse 27. He said, "My name is Jacob." He said, in verse 28, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel." That's where you get the word Israel from, right there. Boom. God wants to change your name. Now, some of you got names. Our names don't mean anything. Jim. What does Jim mean? John, Miles. If I was in Europe, they'd call me kilometers. Don't mean anything. I've had so many people in my life say that to me. "Hey, you're kilometers." I'm like, yeah, I heard it a million times. So I figure I'll use it and get a laugh out of it. So corny. God wants to give you a different name. He calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego servants of the Most High. Are you a servant of the Most High? Elisha, Moses, Elijah, Ezekiel, man of God. Are you a man of God? Ruth, virtuous woman. Mary, highly favored one of the Lord. God looked all over the earth and he picked Mary, teenager, to have Jesus. What's your name? Oh, yeah, you have your mother's name and the
name your parents gave you. That, not that name. What's the name God gave you? What is God? How does God refer to you in heaven? Look at my servant. Look at my faithful one. Job, hey, shuns evil, gives evil the Heisman every time, he told Satan. He's faithful servant, a blameless, upright man. That's who he is to me. Who are you? God wants to change your name. He wants you to get on your knees so he can change your name. Now, some of you may not even care about living in the supernatural. God doing something in your life that is just beyond what you would even ask him to do. But I think some of y'all do. I think some of y'all really want extra. Don't go to church just to go to church. Come to God to get what God has for you. Get it all. Enjoy it all. Coming to church and getting a little word of encouragement, knowing a little scripture, that's so basic. It's such a trick from the devil if that's all you're going to get. You're cheating yourself out of bigness. God's looking for somebody. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. He's like this on the earth. Man, if I could find somebody that will do this, somebody that will wrestle with me, fight with me, and when I want to kick them off, they won't let me go. You know what the Bible, there's a Bible story in the Bible where this widow was wanting to get justice from a judge who didn't fear God, and the widow didn't have any rights. And she was like, give me justice. And the judge says, get out of my courtroom, woman, get out of my court. No, give me justice. And she was bugging him and bugging him and bugging him. And he says, look, I'm going to give you justice just so you can get out of my face. And he gave her justice. You know what Jesus says? Listen to the words of the unjust judge. Listen to the words of the unjust judge. And then it says, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find anybody like that? We were in Africa, we went to an orphanage. All my kids and my wife had held these babies for about an hour. And when we went to leave, my daughter put this baby on the floor. She was about 8 months old, 9 months old. She could barely stand up. She grabbed both my daughter's legs and started screaming at the top of her lungs. She didn't want her to leave. That's how God wants us to be. Dear God, I really, really want to hear your voice. I really, 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 really want it. Whenever I get stressed, I write down on a piece of paper all the stuff that I think is stressing me out and why I think it's stressing me out and what I think God wants me to do. And I go, ah. Then I write down, Lord, I am going to be committed to doing these things. And I go, ah, and it works. Most of my stress, if not all, is gone within a matter of minutes because I have a plan. Let me tell you something. Leave here today with a plan. And if your plan is only this, God, I'm going to seek you a little more intelligently every day, and I'm not going to let you go. Last story, then we're going to pray. How many of you in here ever worked out for any length of time? Raise your hand. You did any kind of exercise for any length of time. Surf, learn how to do something. Remember the first time? How many of y'all in here surf? I do not surf, but I know people do. Saw people the other day surfing. I went surfing like 4 times. I hated it. Why? Because I couldn't do it. Wave came, I almost got killed. I lost my board. It was like a 12-foot board. And I look up, and this thing is coming at me like 90 miles an hour. Now, I ain't the most intelligent brother, but I'm thinking, if this thing hits me in my head, I'm going to be dead. So I go under for like 5 minutes hoping this thing goes over me. I hate it because I couldn't do it. But if I could do it, I would love it. But if you ever do anything good, what are you? The first time you go out, you can't do it. Second time, you still can't do it. Fifth time, you still can't do it. But then again, you start to figure it out. And you get better, you get more confident, then you like it, then you like it, then you start talking trash about how well you do it. Then you get your own stuff and put your name on it. Then you start, you start inviting other people. You know what I'm talking about? Whether it be working out, whether it be running, whether it be jogging, whether it be playing basketball. And when you play basketball, if you can't play, you go out there by yourself in the middle of the night when no one's around. But then when you start to get it, you say, yeah, and then you start to go out and you invite some friends to play. Then when you get real good, you walk out to the park and play with anybody. You know what I'm talking about? Same thing with God. Pray a little bit today. Write down what happens. Pray a little bit more tomorrow. Write down what happens. Do that every day. Write down what happens. Watch what happens.
Spend time with God. Spend 10 minutes, 30, 60. Turn the TV off. I always miss the Super Bowls because I'm at church. Guess what? There's stuff you want to see on TV you really don't need to see. Turn it off. Limit yourself to 1 hour of TV a week. Go home and just sit and pray, read your Bible, and listen to the clock go tick, tock, tick, tock. And go, this ain't really that bad. Write down what God tells you. Get good at that. Get good at that. We're going to pray in a minute. Some of y'all need to say, Lord, I'm ready to get good. I'm ready to do this with you, God. And I'm not going to let go. I'm not going to let go. Let's all bow our heads and pray. As I'm praying, some of y'all need to get up out of your seat and come down to the altar and grab onto God one last time. The last time, it's going to be the last time because you're not going to let go. Some of y'all are ready to take that step to say, Lord, I'm ready to be committed. I'm ready to be that guy that says, I won't let go till you bless me. Some of y'all need to come up because you need to be saved. And you know you need to be saved. You need Jesus in your life. As I'm speaking and praying, as the music's playing, just come up out of your seat, get up, and walk up here to the altar. And we're going to pray with you right now. Good. God bless you. Just come to the altar. Eyes closed, heads bowed, just between you and God. Your business, no one's else. Come on up to the altar. Lord God, there are people here today who are ready. There's a gleam in their eye. They want it. They want it. They know that they put so much into other areas of their life, and they never give you the best opportunity to be God in their life. They don't give you the best opportunity to forgive them, to transform their life, to speak to them. They don't listen long enough. They're always distracted. But today they're saying, I want it, and I'm going to get it. I'm going to experience the amazingness of God. Get up out of your seat and come on down. Some of you in here need to be saved. You came in here a sinner, not forgiven, and you know you need salvation. You know you need to be born again. Just come up out of your seat and get up and come on down to the altar so we can pray for you. Some of you are depressed. Some of you are addicted. Some of you are in and out of bad relationships, in and out of bad decisions. You want the cycle to stop. You want the merry-go-round to stop. You want to get off. You want your life to go to a new direction. It may be 20, 30 years you've been in this cycle and you think it can never stop. Ooh, nothing's impossible with God. Get up out of your seat and come on down. Amen. Good. Some of y'all have had 1, 2, 3 abortions. And you're worried God will never forgive you. God will never heal your wound. God wants to heal you. God wants to cleanse you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to love you today. Some of you will commit crimes. The police are looking for you. Come give you a burden to God. God bless you. God bless you. Lord God, we have nowhere else to go to receive peace and forgiveness. We have nowhere else to go to hear your plan for our life. We have nowhere else to go to finally become the person you created us to be. We try everything else over and over and over again. We're so scared to make enemies in the world. We're so paranoid about pleasing people.
so paranoid about fitting in, and we always put you last. Lord, your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, which cannot be measured, so are your ways and your plans and your loves higher than ours. Why we don't take full advantage of that, I don't know. But Lord, I pray for these people who are kneeling here, the people who are still walking forward and who are still yet to get up out of their seat. I pray that today you would put a permanent mark on their life. January 19, 2003 would be a permanent mark where their life went from going right to going left. It went from going down to going up, from going backward to going forward. That today you would do that miracle in their life. Lord, there are couples in here, married or engaged couples, whose relationships need a powerful touch. I pray they would come together. There are dating couples whose relationships need a powerful touch. I pray they would come together. I pray that men would humble themselves before you and be the spiritual leader of their home and be man enough to admit that they're not, that they need to be better. Lord, heal people. Thank you. Lord, as these people kneel before you today, I pray you bless them. I pray you transform their life. I pray you speak to them things they never heard before. And I even pray for these little young ones down here. That they would go home and obey God. They would read their Bible. Lord, we don't want 2003 to be like 2002. We want it to be better. Dear God, we thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I have one story to tell you, but while I'm telling this, I'm going to ask if you're a small group facilitator, care and concern ministry, anything, we're going to ask you to come up while I'm telling the story so we can counsel these people. We were in Africa. We saw all kinds of animals, lions, giraffes, buffalo, rhinos, cheetahs, gazelle, hippos, alligators. Stuff I'd never seen. Mouse bird, never heard of a mouse bird. Wing snapper bird, never heard of a wing snapper bird. Mouse bird is a long tail, flies like this. Wing snapper bird be flying over the car, and then all of a sudden go with his wings. Stuff I never heard of. Not that I need to hear of everything, but I thought I, you know, knew a lot about animals. Big elephants charged our car. So exciting. 15 feet high, 10,000 pounds, like that. And then it walked into the bushes, silent. Matter of fact, we saw so many elephants, and they'd be walking right there, and you could barely hear them. 10,000 pounds. And then they walk into a group of trees, and you could barely hear them going to the trees. And they just disappear. I mean, we make more noise walking through trees than animals. Just breaking sticks, staring, you know, screaming. And they just, we saw a cheetah, the distance from here to that wall, stalking a gazelle like this. Gazelles are right there. And the cheetah's cubs are sitting in the grass, little babies. It's unbelievable. Giraffes right next to the road. I don't know how tall they were, just tall. 20, 30 feet high, I don't know how big they were. Big old fat hippos. Cape buffalo. Bad brothers, all black with big horns, and they just charge you. No warning, they just turn your car over. So we drive up next to like 100 of them, and they'd all stop eating, and they just look at us like this. That was the whole attitude. And the driver's like, be quiet, they'll charge you. And my wife's like, let's go. I'm like, be quiet, we'll take pictures. They're just like looking at them, eating their grass. Baboons crossing the street. And daddy baboon stayed behind, just looked at us like, get out the car. Lions, Beautiful. All those animals, as amazing as they are, God says, I love all y'all better. He loves you better. You're going to heaven or not. He has granted you opportunity for eternal life and a relationship with him. He can talk to you, unlike the animals. And yet he cares for them. Some of them mate for life, live 30, 40, 60 years. But he cares for you more. And all he wants you to do is take advantage of it. That's it. You grab him, you hold on, you don't let go. Whatever you're praying for, don't stop. Every day. Just do it every day. Just give him a little bit every day, and every day give him a little bit more. Watch what happens. Like I said, turn your TV off. Turn your music off. Go home and spend time with God. Just sit in your bed. Simple. Simple. On your lunch break, go be by yourself. Seek God and watch what he does. Let me tell you something. Once you get a taste, you won't go back. Once you get a taste, you won't go back. Trust me. Lord, I pray for these people here. I pray you bless them. And Lord, I pray for the people sitting in the seats. I pray, God, that they would leave here with a desire to see you, to experience you. I pray that they'd be excited about the chase. Lord, challenge us spiritually to seek you with our whole heart. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask all y'all if you can walk that way to the front, and all y'all to walk that way. And before you leave, Billy Graham Crusade in 4 months, be praying about someone that you're going to bring to get saved. Amen. Let's stand and sing a song. We're going to walk y'all, have y'all walk to your right, have y'all walk to your left, right there. There you go.